That means we're done?
All I saw was credits. Okay, you ready?
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting back to order, please. We'll reconvene to open session. Can we stand and have the president?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we have the report out of closed session, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Director Baltimore?
Here.
Vice President Kelly?
Here.
Director Muhart?
Here.
Director Muhart, we're present. The other two directors came in during the middle of the meeting. We did discuss two items that were on the closed session agenda under pending litigation. This was the ongoing bankruptcy matter, and then the litigation with Golden State et al., commonly known as the ISJ, or the groundwater adjudication. The board did hear an update from legal counsel on the bankruptcy court matters, but took no reportable action. As far as we know, the hearing for, I think, April 8th is still on track in the Santa Barbara bankruptcy court. As to the groundwater adjudication, we did hear an update from legal counsel. The board did take one reportable action, and that is that they approved a contract amendment with the Wallace Group for litigation support. The total contract is for $15,000, of which the district is responsible for 40% under the ISJ formula. That concludes my report.
Thank you. As we go into public comment,
I'm going to say one. Sorry, Mr. President, I forgot one little thing. The approval was unanimous.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. With that, then we'll go to public comment. I have a request to speak first regarding the community center. So, if we could have, excuse me,
Jerry Walsh, I'm here. I am here tonight from the South Bay Community Center as one of the board of directors. This building is getting very old. It is continually supported only by donations and rentals. Most people don't know that there is no federal, state, or county funding for this building. We have to do fundraisers continually to keep it going. And the biggest fundraiser of the year just happens to be this Saturday night on the 5th. It is the 27th annual reverse drawing and dinner. You have a chance to win $5,000. It is a great dinner put on by the Kiwanis Club. They are putting on a barbecue of chicken and tri-tip, and the Filipino Association is putting on a roast pig. Chase Bank is doing a wonderful bar. There's prizes every so often, even if your ticket isn't drawn at the end. It's $100 for two people for dinner. I'll be here for a little while if anyone wants to buy a ticket. Tomorrow all day, while everyone's decorating, people will be here. Rabobank is selling tickets. All of the board members, Pete Starlings, Hillary Hopkins, Phyllis Cameron, all of the other board members are all selling tickets. You can come the day of the event and buy a ticket. We probably won't have them all sold. But in order to get your name or your company's name on the program, you have to buy it by tomorrow afternoon. So thank you.
Okay, and I think that that's a very, very worthwhile event. So they're going to be for sale here tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
okay. So everybody out in TV land, here tomorrow, South Bay Community Center. Okay, with that, we'll go to public comment, general public comment. We will go ahead and take the public comment on items not appearing on the agenda. So if you could make your comments, you're limited to 3 minutes. Please, as I've discussed before, direct the comments to the board and not to our staff.
Maria, would you pass those on, please?
Oh, sorry.
We'll start your time after we get these passed out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Frank Cecilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to say to ask the chair that there was a hearing up in Sacramento on Saturday, I mean on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, regarding funding, state funding, and a number of people that here in the audience did travel up there. And if the chair would give those somebody from that who went up there a little extra time to give some information regarding what occurred up there, I think that the community would appreciate that. I know I would like to hear from them. The other thing is that I went on the website and I couldn't find a way to contact individual chairs, I mean individual board members. I would request that I think you have your own private emails, private being through the CSD, not like my work. I had my own email with my home, it was my work email. So if there's a way that you can have that email so we can contact, because it relates to what I'm going to present. I did try to contact Marshall. I was given his phone number, his work phone number, and I hated to bother him there. I did leave a message, but we weren't able to connect. So therefore, I'm bringing it to the board now, this issue. I received this email. So I didn't understand why I received this email from the CSD. I then wrote to that staff member and saying, I received the email from you and do not understand it. Would you please explain it? Thanks, Frank Cecilio. That person then responds, if you go up, wrong Frank, dash, thanks for the reply. Hope you are doing well and have a great weekend. Hope that assists you. And then on the bottom, you know, they signed it. Never confuse movement with action, Billie Jean King. So I get this kind of odd email from the CSD, and to me, this person's representing the CSD. Is this the kind of information that you send out to people? So I'd hope that this is, you know, there's some clarification on policy on when you do contact the public. I mean, I'd like to get email from the CSD when it's informed. I mean, I've gotten some good email from people and very helpful information from the staff. But this was very confusing for me, and I think, and I find it inappropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. No more? Oh.
Email is an interesting thing. You know, sometimes you get things by email and it's almost impossible to figure out where they came from. But I'm assuming that what I'm going to talk about now is a genuine letter from our council addressed to Ann Herring Ridge, Pablo Ogren, Alan Ono, and Warren Jensen. Which triggered in my mind something that I want to share with you. In this letter, John talks about the possibility that our water purveyor may be sold in order to satisfy certain things in bankruptcy or for some other reasons. And it seems to me that it would be most important that the board schedule a time to discuss this matter so that the community, I'm talking about something early on, not at the end when we're running up against 218 votes and whatever else may come up. Because I think I'm unhappy about the raises that have taken place in our own water district are going to be flabbergasted when they find out what Golden State will charge for the same service. So I urge you to agendize this matter. Give us an opportunity to have the community fully informed early on as to what exactly is happening. And then on another point, the other day the Supreme Court rendered a rather interesting decision involving the First Amendment. And I call this to your attention because not that we've had problems here in our open comment, but we've had some problems with the county. We have a chair who seems to think that he doesn't understand the First Amendment. And I don't know if you read about this particular case, and it involves a bunch of people who have a certain religious belief who are against gay people to a vengeance. And they went to a funeral of a soldier who was killed in Iraq may I finish this, Marshall?
As long as it's brief, because we only have 30 minutes total here.
I will be finished shortly. Anyway, they went to a place that wasn't even in their next village, and they were at a funeral of a soldier who was killed in Iraq, and they carried signs which were unbelievable as far as their feelings about gay people. The father of the soldier was killed, sued them, and got a judgment. And I won't, because I'm running out of time, but the Supreme Court has now said that this is speech that's protected by the First Amendment. I spent some time defending people in the First Amendment, personally have a problem with people who would do what these people do. However, it appears they have the right to do that under our Constitution.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good evening, Mr. CSD was responsible. Well, I didn't see Golden State, their representative there. He didn't stand up. He didn't raise his hand. He knew better. He knew better to keep his mouth shut. Are we going to let the county off the hook entirely on this matter? Does anybody have any concept of the cost associated with fixing this problem of seawater intrusion? We're talking millions, if not tens of millions of dollars. And if you're responsible, that means your ratepayers are responsible, your water ratepayers. It boggles my mind that somebody representing this, ostensibly representing this group, is offering that up. Moreover, this is the same individual that is supposed to be on the ISJ representing the district. Why not just... let's just tell the county we'll take care of all the problems out here. I think it was very irresponsible for Mr. Gilmore to say that. Moreover, or perhaps what he's thinking is that if CSD does sell the water company to Golden State, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's okay because they own it. The liability associated with the seawater intrusion is staggering. First of all, it's irreversible. I'm wondering how such an irresponsible comment can be made, with no qualifications or no further hesitation. Frankly, this is an embarrassment. And if this district is going to assume the responsibility, let's talk about the cost. Let's get that on the table and let the people know that they're going to experience a wave of water rate increases that are going to be comparable to what the sewer costs. You know, let's just admit it. Let's be honest with everyone. So, you know, I don't know what Mr. Gilmore was thinking, but I was shocked and not very happy about it. Thanks.
Good evening, Martha Golden. Just for one brief touch upon the problem of saltwater intrusion, it's very interesting that everybody wrings their hands and nobody wants to assume responsibility. The request of Supervisor Patterson, who is urging a letter asking for a moratorium on smart meters until all of the issues can be resolved and until the legislature acts on a bill, pending bill, which would require a wired alternative and other available technology if you don't want a smart meter. This was raised before the CSD. I'm very disappointed that it has not been agendized. You represent the community and its health and safety, and smart meters raise a serious health and safety concern, in addition to which they don't run backwards. So all our efforts to install solar and have better, more efficient, less carbon-producing energy on our very own roofs goes down the tubes when you have a smart meter, which I find highly offensive since we happen to have solar panels on our house. And our meter does run backwards at the present time. But the problem is with the health and the safety. There are health risks that are being documented all over the world where smart meters are being studied or have been installed. There are fire hazards. There are privacy concerns, all of which require a halt to the smart meters until we have done real studies if they ever get installed. I urge you to agendize this item and to send a similar letter to our legislators urging a moratorium and voting for wired alternatives to smart meters. Thank you.
Elaine Watson, I want to ask a couple of questions. One, the first one is, I would like to ask you to either ask the county or to do it, take the responsibility yourselves, to ask for bi-monthly nitrate testing. There's been speculation in the county or in the community for a long time. We haven't had any testing since 2006. There's been a lot of speculation that those numbers might have gone down, but we don't know, and it's time to find out. We were at the water board early in the month, last month, and the board members thought we need to know those numbers. The second question is, I would like to know if there has been any baseline assessment or assessments done for the basin. And during this past year. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I concur with Mr. Golden that this letter that was sent out by Shipsey and Sites should have been discussed long before it was ever sent out so that we know as a community precisely what is going on. We seem to be kept in the dark. We're like little mushrooms. We don't need to know. The other thing that is of importance is that I, too, was one of those that attended the meeting in Sacramento on Tuesday. And in so doing, I understood many of the things that they were concerned about. One of the things, after having listened to the Regional Water Quality Control Board here in San Luis as to whether we in reality have a nitrate problem or whether the nitrate problem is less important than the saltwater intrusion, is an important difference. Now, we have a problem with saltwater intrusion that has been known for 40 years, and nothing has been done about it. Not by the water board, not by the county, not by the CSA 9, which was the governing entity previously. We need to have a determination as to what we are seeing as far as the nitrates in our water is concerned. Are we flipping from nitrates to salt water and the salt water intrusion isn't even going to be addressed? Because if it is not addressed, it is going to put a burden on the sewer plant that none of us are going to be able to afford. Are we paying for something we are not going to be able to derive any benefit from, such as nitrates are not any longer going to be the problem, but salt water intrusion is going to be the major problem. We need to have those tests done monthly, if not that, bi-monthly, and the water board in San Luis Obispo made the same comment. Roger Briggs was enforcing the...
In Sacramento, on Tuesday, and I think there's a couple issues that this board needs to be informed of if you weren't already, because there was some information that was news to us. The first thing is, the way the meeting was conducted was total flip-flop from how we'd ever been treated at the state level before. The chairman was accommodating. There really wasn't a three-minute clock. He let people speak, you know, their piece. He was appreciative that people had driven 5 hours to give public comment and were concerned about the community. I mean, it was refreshing compared to what we deal with here at the county level sometimes. But what came out of discussion, there was a back and forth about reduction in the interest rate, because currently it's at 2.6, and what incentives they could put in to get the interest rate lower, what they could do down the road. They were very concerned that this project's going to cost the county, or I mean this community, a substantial amount of money monthly for a long period of time. One of the commissioners brought up the option of, well, is there a way we could incentivize a lower interest rate if the county keeps the project for a longer period of time than was stipulated or inferred in 2701? And our supervisor, who basically would have agreed to, our opinion was he would have agreed to anything that day to get what he wanted, and this is the first time I'd ever heard him say this publicly, said that he thought the county was the best and the appropriate entity to maintain this project maybe forever. I didn't know if the CSD knew that, and if the CSD is going to have an opinion about that and voice that opinion to the county, because if you'd give me a second, I'd like to read the conditions that were added to the staff report that came out of this back and forth discussion. First of all, condition 11.
Richard, can I interrupt for just a second? If you're the last speaker, I'll let you go past the time. If not, I'm not going to be able to do that. So,
I don't think we had 10 speakers, did we?
Well, we've got to.
You started.
I'm keeping the time. If I've got three more speakers, then I'm going to have to keep you on time. So,
well, I know I'm not done now.
I know that. I'll give you another couple minutes.
As for the obligation under the state or the CWSRF finance agreement to the Los Osos CSD or any other entity, the approval of such transfer shall be presented to the State Water Board for consideration. And here's the most important one. No later than December 6, 2011, the board will consider at a board meeting reducing the interest rate established pursuant to resolved number one. Such a reduction in interest rates would be considered in conjunction with how long the county operates the project. Prior to the State Water Board's consideration of an interest rate reduction, the county shall provide an updated report to the State Water Board members updating cost estimates, user service charges, and projected on-lot costs.
Richard, you said you had 2 points. Did you have another point, or did that get everything out?
That was three.
My point is, I think this changes the outlook for the CSD down the road. If we're talking about selling the water department, potentially, and the county's going to hold on to this wastewater project, right, we may be at a point down the road of what's the purpose of the CSD.
I appreciate that. I just wanted to make sure that you got your comments in. Okay, so we have two more speakers. Is that correct? Okay.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I think what Richard just said is what brought me here tonight, is that Bruce Gibson is left to represent us, and he didn't know that he had that position until he stood in front of that panel on Tuesday. What disappoints me, and the reason I'm speaking on this topic tonight, is that when we were here last meeting, and we talked about the SRF meeting of March 1st, Marshall suggested there'd be a special meeting, that your board would come up with a position that he or Maria would be in Sacramento on Tuesday, and none of that happened. None of you were there. You are our representatives. You didn't have a special meeting for the public to send or help you form a position. You may be saving some of us from having to go to the meeting. But on Thursday afternoon at about 3:45, Friday was an all-day possibility for us to respond. Monday was a holiday, and the comment period closed at noon on Tuesday. Where's the access to the board? Where's the public's ability to comment? That is a narrow window. I haven't done the math, but it's only a few hours for the public to have sent in comments. And tonight you didn't report, Mr. Seitz did not report on the outcome of his letter and what happened with the State Revolving Fund and his requests. I don't even know if your board has seen that letter. Is it available on your website? It's available on the State Water Board's website. But when did you talk about it and formulate that position for John to talk about it in his letter, and then where are all of us in that process? Huge disappointment. You are our representatives. You should have held that meeting so that we could have sent our message through our CSD. This is a project that will affect all of our lives. It has for the last 30 years, and it will for the next 30 years.
Hi, I'm Alon Perlman.
Pardon me, Alon. We'll have you and Lindy, and then this public comment will be closed.
Back to Alon Perlman. I would like to thank actually Jerry for other things that the South Bay Community Center does. There's many services that take place here. There's a senior lunch. There's food distribution. Just a variety of things, people helping people. And I just thought I'd say thanks. I'd also like to thank the individuals from Los Osos who went up all the way to Sacramento. I didn't have that pleasure this year. Unfortunately, to my current knowledge, there is not an archive, and I'm trying to find out what exactly took place. I saw small sections of it. Main reason I'm up here right now, though, is has to do with Mr. Gilmore's comment, which I hope he does explain in response to Frank's question. But I would say the intrusion. So basically what you have up and down the coast or any other location where there is brackish water, salt water, next to a freshwater reservoir, is that as you increase the pumping, there's basically a drawing in of salt water, and it's pretty straightforward. If you have many wells, it proceeds along the front. When you have a finger intrusion, you get a much more complicated picture. And since some of the water supply for future Los Osos 10 years from now, I think the real question is where, and does a CSD own that property or own the ability to control it? Where will the CSD be pumping 10 years from now, assuming that you are concerned that exists in perpetuity? So what happens with the finger intrusion is it complicates and the nature of where the salt is, because there has been established a negative draw in the basin, and now that the intrusion has taken place, it will spread rapidly in a diffuse manner across whether or not actually the two sublevels of the aquifer will be affected. It means very high cost of pumping and uncertainty for new wells. And I think that red light means something, so thank you for your time.
Hi, Linda Owen. Thank you for letting me squeeze in. I basically wanted to start off by reminding everybody that Wallace and Associates and Cleath and Associates are the two engineering water experts that have led us into the disaster that we have with saltwater intrusion by not notifying us and not following the signs and signals that were there for 30 years. So I think it might be time to start shopping around for somebody who has more integrity. And then I would like John Seitz to please explain the letter. What's really clear that's going on, I don't understand if we're in bankruptcy and we're trying to solve how to pay the construction companies that jumped in with, they were given, told to have caution, but they didn't. They went ahead and assumed that they could start up and get paid eventually. How, first, you've given away our waste, our garbage company back to the county. How are we supposed to continue as a CSD if we sell our water company? The reason we formed a CSD was to take it away from a county who is abusing us and to get it back into our control. So I would be very sad to see if that's the direction that Mr. Gilmore, who is very close with Mr. Pava Ogren, who is in charge of the wastewater project, as well as the Nacimiento water that is still unsold. It looks to me like it's all a big plan to give our water company over to Golden State so that they can import the water that will allow the undeveloped lots to develop with polluted mercury water. And my second point is there's a letter response from Will Clemens on the, from the county to explain how soon we will start paying for this sewer. According to his letter, beginning next tax year, which would be 2011-12, the annual assessment will be approximately $768 or $64 a month. So I just want people to understand we're going to start paying for it in December, according to this, and we will pay for it for 40 years. All the other costs will accumulate when the project goes online. But if anybody thinks that this isn't happening, better wake up. We're about to be paying $250 to $300 to flush our toilets. Thanks.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. Before I go to staff, I just have a couple of comments. Regarding selling the water company, that is not something that this board supports. It's included in the disclosure statement, and I can let John speak about that a little bit more when we get to the end. But this board has been unanimous in supporting trying to resolve the bankruptcy without having to sell the water company. So that's not something we're actively pursuing, nor do we support. Smart meters, as far as smart metering our water customers, that issue has been discussed by our utility advisory committee. So as far as smart meters for CSD water, we have discussed that. PG&E's smart metering is really not an issue that's under the jurisdiction or purview of this board. I'm sorry. Elaine had a couple of questions that I'll have Dan or John respond to about the nitrate testing and baseline assessments when those were occurred or occurring. And John, then you can talk a little bit more about your letter and I guess the status of that. I would point out that the State Water Board meeting is supposed to be online, and I know it's not. So we're trying to pursue right now getting a copy of the traits, and then, John, you can close with a discussion about the bankruptcy.
With respect to nitrate, there have been a number of studies that have been done. Many of them are on the district's website. Cleith Harrison Associates has done a great deal of sampling and testing for nitrates throughout the basin. The nitrate levels are something that fluctuates with rainfall and other things. It's to create some type of a baseline. We might look back at history and create some averages or something like that, or look at trending from various wells over time, but it is somewhat of a moving target. It varies with time. It varies from well to well, but it is something that's regulated by the Department of Public Health. The maximum contaminant level is 45 milligrams per liter, and we consistently deliver water that meets state drinking water standards, and we're very proud of that fact. We have stepped up nitrate monitoring at the South Bay well, which I'll talk about a little bit more in my general manager's report, for the purposes of determining when the lower aquifer clears up and that water becomes suitable for blending with upper aquifer water. again, in an effort to reduce reliance on the lower aquifer and to produce water that meets or exceeds all state and federal drinking water standards.
Thank you. John, would you like to discuss your letter? And
yeah. Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to make just a couple comments. One, I believe I've discussed the creditor's position related to the sale of water company publicly here at these meetings. So I'm maybe the commenter wasn't here, but I believe I did talk about the sale, their allegations regarding the sale of the water company. Regardless, the sale of the water company has been threatened against the district probably for the last 12, 13 months. Our disclosure statement goes through it in some detail, the creditors claim that that we can sell the water company. We went to great lengths in our disclosure statement. We even attached an independent legal opinion to our disclosure statement, stating that we cannot legislatively sell our water company without the approval, signing statement of AB 2701, that the State Water Resource Control Board would withdraw its claim in bankruptcy. And my thinking was at the time, and maybe I didn't articulate this well enough in my letter, that if and only if, and I think I stated it so many ways in the unlikely event, I stated our legal position, but if the State Water Resource Control Board withdrew its claim as a result of approving the loan and the refinancing of the CSD's debt, in that there was always that lingering potential out there that if we had to sell the water company to satisfy creditors in the very unlikely event, and the creditors are keeping that claim, that the district customers would be had by such an outcome because they would no longer be in a position to satisfy their claims from the proceeds of the water company. And then what would happen, in theory, is, and sort of keep in mind, this is the worst case scenario, so I had to address it because I didn't want the State Water Resource Control Board to relinquish their claim, is that in the event the water company was sold, our residents are indeed repaying that $6.2 million in the old loan through their assessments because it's being refinanced into the SRF loan package. And then if they sell the water company, some of that money, if the water company was there to be sold, some of that loot or that money from the proceeds should be going to reduce the SRF payment, thereby reducing the assessments on all of our property owners. So I was concerned that the State Water Resource Control Board would somehow release its creditor's claim as part of this package, and I wanted to make it clear that I thought that that would be a poor result in the unlikely event the water company was sold. That was the part, that was the main message that I was trying to get through on that paragraph. I did have a discussion with Ann Hartridge after I sent the letter, further elucidating what the position I was taking in that letter, and she clearly about whether or not it would be included in the record. So I had no idea what the staff report was going to say at the time. The idea behind that letter was to address bankruptcy issues before the State Water Resource Control Board. Principally, the issues I tried to address in that letter was really the principal amount of the loan, so they wouldn't overstate the loan based on their creditors' claims, that it would take into consideration the reductions that we achieved through litigation. Secondly, I wanted to make a case that interest should not be charged as a result of the outstanding debt because it wasn't included in AB 2701, and I thought that should be brought to their attention. Fourth, Oh, the fourth issue I wanted to address is that the state had filed a creditor's claim for almost $8.5 million because they had included the Roderson property, that grant, and I wanted to make it clear to the State Water Resource Control Board that they should reduce that creditor's claim because the Broderson property is indeed being used in the subsequent wastewater treatment project, and our residents shouldn't be double charged for that. So that was what I was trying to, maybe I didn't articulate it well enough, but that was my intent sending that letter. So
thank you, John. There it is. I just one more time in case there's any lingering doubt here. I want to reiterate that the board is not considering nor even pursuing the sale of the water company. We're doing everything we can to prevent the court from ordering the sale of it. So the purpose of John's letter, and I'm going to say this one more time, John, the purpose of John's letter was to put our arguments out to help protect the water company in bankruptcy. And that was the sole reason for what John did. Well, not the sole reason, but the primary reason. So if we do ever get to the point where the court orders us to sell a water company, believe me, we will have numerous public hearings before anything happens. But at this point, we're not pursuing it. Okay, thank you. With that, then, we'll move to the administrative reports, please. We'll start with the CAL FIRE manager's report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. You have before you the chamber like a broken pipe or an unusual smell. Company 15 responded back to assist CAL FIRE staff a total of 18 times. In the administration side, we initiated an assistance to firefighters grant. We've done several of those in the past couple years. In this case, we're requesting support to put smoke detectors in some of the mobile home parks, focusing on the population base of Los Osos, which has a high number of senior citizens. If it's fully funded, we anticipate a 10% matching, with just under $800-$900 of CSD money going to this, with the rest coming from the assistance to firefighters. That continued on through the month of February as well. So we'll see what happens in April, if that's approved or not. Station 15 continued to work to hire a total of three reserve firefighters to bring the company back up to a total of 25, as required by the CSD. A physical ability test was conducted. Total of 14 passed the physical ability. They went to an interview after that. A total of three were selected. Of those three, two have already completed the required or most of the required training, and one will initiate as a brand new rookie. So it's anticipated the two that have the training will be ready to respond sometime in March. As you're probably aware, January is our training season, so there's quite a bit of training that went on there. Some of it received by the employees at Station 15, some of it instructed by the employees of 15. So I'm not going to detail all of that. I attended a meeting in Morro Bay in the month of January to review the draft tsunami plan that CAL FIRE staff is doing in conjunction with County OES and Cal EMA. And so that's detailed in there. I worked with the three water purveyors the CSD to make sure that critical infrastructure within the tsunami inundation zone was protected and identified. And that's the summary of that meeting. A sinkhole occurred in the back of Station 15 in regards to the cement pad and driveway repair project, and that's detailed out there at this time. That's stable, and Mr. Gilmore probably has more information on that. And then a number of local folks saw a CAL FIRE archaeological staff that did a survey in the district. Several years ago, when the Fire Safe Council focus group, and that concludes the report. Is there any questions or concerns that you may have for me?
Thank you, Chief. Any questions?
No.
Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the Utility Department's report.
Thank you, and good evening, President Ohilski, members of the board.
I'd like to thank the Chief for coming.
and good evening, members of the listening audience. In January, utilities staff performed regular required monitoring, water sampling, documenting, and reporting for the systems that we operate. The monthly compliance report was submitted to the State Department of Public Health with no problems or violations noted. Crews also replaced meter boxes and continued with their valve maintenance program. Total water production for the month of January was 16.5 million gallons, which is a 10% decrease from last year at this time. 57% of the water service area was billed for 17.16 million gallons, generating revenue of around $120,000. For this billing period, revenue increased approximately 10%, and consumption of water in the district decreased by approximately 6% from last year at this time. Utility staff also worked quite hard in January to clear inlets and maintain drainage pumps to stay ahead of the rain. Also, new lightweight doors were installed on the drainage vaults at the Don and Mitchell and at the 8th and El Moro pump stations. The old doors were steel and were quite heavy, and the springs that assist with the opening of the doors had been broken for some time. The new doors provide the needed security while significantly increasing safety for staff. Local CSD general managers meet informally to discuss issues common to all local special districts. At one recent meeting, there was a discussion surrounding the benefits of providing each other with a list of equipment owned by each district. The intent was to create a master list so that in an emergency, it'd be easy to provide assistance to each other. It was also discussed that our utility superintendents could benefit from meeting informally to discuss common topics and to share information. This idea is currently being developed further, and we see opportunities for professional development through this process. Any questions I can answer for the utilities report?
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll have the district administrative department report.
Thank you. The administrative supervisor has begun to review current employee job descriptions to make certain they accurately reflect the duties of each position and to streamline administrative activities. Any proposed changes will be brought to the board for review prior to inclusion in the LOCSD personnel policy. Staff has also investigated the possibility of adding the ability to take online credit card and telephone payments for utility bills. Administrative report.
Any questions? Seeing none, then we'll move to the district general manager report.
Thank you again.
And we'll finally get you off the hot seat.
Okay. On February 2nd, I attended the regular meeting of the Water Resources Advisory Committee, or RAC as it's commonly referred to. Along with the typical business and regular updates, there were two primary action items. The first included a vote to create a subcommittee to review the 2010 edition of the Resource Management System's Annual Resource Summary Report. I participated in a vote and voted in favor of creating a subcommittee, creating the subcommittee, and the motion passed unanimously. The subcommittee was then appointed by the RAC chair and given direction to report back to the committee in March. The second main action item on the agenda was the issue of adding a RAC member to represent development interests. A subcommittee had been previously appointed to make recommendations for criteria to be used in selecting a representative. The subcommittee recommended that the development representative be in regular communication with the groups they represent and that they be charged with representing the entire development industry rather than any particular subset of that. I voted in favor of incorporating the subcommittee's recommendations, and the motion passed 17-2, which was a rare non-unanimous vote for the RAC. The individuals recommended by the subcommittee were then confirmed by the RAC in a unanimous vote. And in a subsequent related vote, the RAC is recommending to the Board of Supervisors that the Cattlemen's Association be added to the list of agricultural agencies represented on the RAC. And as I mentioned before, I got a little bit of an update on the South Bay Well. At the last board meeting, a chronology of events relating to the South Bay Wells and blending facility and their associated costs were presented to the board. We've been producing water now from the lower aquifer well at South Bay and have been monitoring the nitrate level in the hopes that they would begin to trend downward. Recent information indicates that this is indeed the case, and we hope to see the trend continue to the point where we can begin to operate the blending facility, thereby reducing reliance on the lower aquifer. And I also wanted to mention, I know you're all aware, that for the first week and a half after the last board meeting, I was fortunate enough to take a vacation. I traveled to Belize, formerly known as British Honduras, on the eastern coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. I was struck by the unspoiled nature of the country and the simple life of the people that live there. It's a relatively poor country. In fact, I should probably say it's a very poor country. And most of the rural residents don't even have electricity. Yet the people are very happy and friendly, always quick with a smile and a wave whenever my eyes would happen to meet theirs. The trip left me very, very thankful for the modern conveniences that we often take for granted. And actually, I honestly felt a little bit embarrassed at the American mentality of always wanting more and the constant consumerism that we also take for granted here in America. So that concludes my general manager report. I'd be happy to talk to any of you more about my trip, but we should definitely do it off of work hours.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a couple of...
Leonard?
Yeah. a couple of clarifications. On the increase, regarding to the increase of the testing of the nitrates, is that limited to just the lower aquifer at the South Bay well? Is that the only place there where you've increased...
We have sampling that's required. It's a sampling program that's mandated by the Department of Public Health, and we are in strict compliance with that, with those requirements.
Right.
The special interest in the South Bay well is to get additional information to more clearly show any trending upwards or downwards. I'm pretty sure most of you are aware, the lower aquifer generally has never had nitrates. According to the Cleith-Harris studies, it's suspected that because of wells that have been perforated in both the upper and the lower aquifer, that there's been some leakage of nitrate-contaminated upper aquifer water into the lower aquifer. And that's pretty much what we expected and are confirming now with the operation of the lower aquifer well at South Bay. Some of the nitrates had leaked into that well, and while it still meets safe drinking water standards, it made that water unsuitable for blending with the upper aquifer water that's produced at that location. So, the interest is to document the downward trending of nitrates in the lower aquifer in the hopes that we can get together with the Department of Public Health and get an approved blending plan and begin to operate that facility to utilize water from the upper aquifer.
Thank you. I have one more thing. In terms of the... you stated in here that it's relying more on production on the easterly wells are two primary approaches for stopping seawater intrusion. And I was just curious if this was due to the if this is due to the proximity to the recharge of the aquifer, or is it just further away from the source of the seawater?
It's generally further away from the source of the seawater. From what I've gathered and my understanding based on reading the Cleith-Harris groundwater characterization studies, is that there is no real significant source of recharge to the lower aquifer, or if there is, it's not real clear yet. And so it's... The reports all conclude that reducing pumping in the lower aquifer is the best way of trying to stop or reverse seawater intrusion.
Great. Thanks for those clarifications. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, then we'll move to standing advisory committees and ad hoc committee reports. First one is Emergency Services Advisory Committee. Director Baltimore.
The Emergency Services Advisory Committee met on Wednesday, February 9th, and at that meeting, we did not have a quorum present, so we decided to proceed with the meeting in an informational-only manner. And with that, this is the report. New members were introduced, those present. Approval of minutes was deferred to the next meeting because there wasn't a quorum. The committee will meet on the third Wednesday of each month, 5:30, Fire Station 15. I went over the Brown Act presentation with people present, and then Amy Jones presented the monthly financial update for us. And some things to note were the driveway project was approximately $11,000 under budget when you consider the contingency fund. The window replacement has been budgeted for this year for the fire station, and it appears the savings cost from the driveway project will cover the cost of the windows replacements. It was asked by the committee there that if the Cal Fire could prepare a proposal package for the next meeting, so the we can discuss it then, for window replacements. It's also noticed that the recent driveway replacement has a noticeable crack, and that Wallace Group has been contacted about that. And the current policy of the CSD board is to have project savings placed in a replacement truck reserves. And so investigating changes to this policy we'll bring up at the next meeting to possibly having it placed in any fire reserve as opposed to just a truck. So it might be general contingency, might be public facilities, but as opposed, because now that the truck fund has gained a little bit of balance to it, give us a little bit more breadth as far as possibilities as when savings are obtained. So next meeting will be goals and future planning. And with that, the meeting was adjourned about 6:30, and we'll be meeting on March 16th, Wednesday at 5:30, Fire Station 15.
Any questions by directors of Director Baltimore?
No.
Okay, seeing none, we'll move to Financial Advisory Committee, Director Kelly or Vice President Kelly.
Thank you. We are still only have two members on our committee, and so we are still would appreciate, well, there, I guess there's a third, but we haven't, she hasn't been able to attend. So we're still looking for a couple more members of the Finance Committee if anybody's interested. The policies and procedure item B was pulled as there was, work hasn't moved forward, but there was some discussion about the first. Ampi and I believe Lisa are going to take a look at the travel policy first. Is that correct, Ampi? The policies we're going to attempt? We reviewed the warrant and the financials. There were no significant questions or issues raised. And then we did had a discussion around the budget process. We'll be having two Finance Committee meetings in March, one to review the policies and procedures and a second one to review the draft of the budget, correct? Right before the next meeting. So we'll be having two meetings in March. And then we had a discussion around how we would review the budget and the process. So it was a pretty short. Dan, Ampi, did I miss anything? Oh, we had significant discussion. That's right. I did want to point out. In the board's packet, you will see under the financials the actuals in our accounts. Richard? Ampi was able to put together total cashes of 228 and reconciled to reserve schedule. So we had some actuals we had a good discussion around that. There's still some questions, but we're making a lot of good headway. So thanks to Ampi. Yes?
And then we talked about what next time the SLO Community Foundation
plan. Oh, correct. Yeah, future agenda items that we're going to be looking at are, well, there were two. The pool, doing discussion around the pool fund that's in trust, and then also looking at the low-income assistance fund that's in the SLO Community Foundation and exploring the opportunity for possible a better place for that to be made as an investment. So that's going to be one of our next agenda items to take a look at that and see if there's somewhere that could be better handled. And that was it.
Thank you. Utility Advisory Committee.
Okay. Our meeting was held February 9th. It was well attended by five of the six members of the committee. It was called to order at 5:35, and I'd like to thank Sandy for filling in for Dan. We started off with introduction of members, and there was no mistaking who each one of us were, so we moved on. We addressed the water master plan, the draft water master plan was introduced and discussed. Several good comments and questions for staff were expressed. Questions range from conceptual to very specific. To give staff an overview, I have a synopsis of the types of concerns and questions that were voiced. I'll list a few. What will the final version of the plan look like? For example, will the final format of the water master plan be a single revised document or a version of the 2002 report with technical memos attached? What are the timelines and funding expectations? The 2002 water master plan should be made available online or otherwise if it is not already. The master plan should be a tool for staff to set priorities, and will this document help do this? Can the numerous recommendations and capital improvements be prioritized in a structure such that items can be combined for cost savings? There were several questions regarding storage. For instance, discussing emergency storage as it pertains to above and below ground. The 10th Street tank storage and cost to fix or replace was discussed, as well as interties and PRV adjustments regarding to storage. Also, does the plan balance demand with regulating usage? Is the consumption data accurate as is based on a five-year average? What is the actual indoor-outdoor breakdown that is used for the data? Committee should discuss further the 8th Street yard facility, and a tour was suggested. That took up the bulk of the meeting. We did talk briefly about the South Bay well blending facility. The general manager's report was discussed. The upper lower well chronology presented at the last board of directors meeting was well received and appreciated. Various aspects were discussed, including the overall cost to date. The committee and members of the public were encouraged that recent testing of the lower aquifer showed decrease in nitrates. I am also formally requesting that an update be made to the Utilities Advisory Committee on a quarterly basis for the South Bay Well blending facility. We did discuss smart meters briefly. As a response to the board's request, we engaged in a short discussion. It was my desire to limit our discussion to smart meters as they pertain to water meters. Basically, the consensus is that smart water meters are too expensive for the district to consider at this time. There was a request made for the board of directors to take a position regarding the health effects of smart meters in general. And at this time, I'm willing to have the Utilities Advisory Committee consider specific topics regarding smart water meters upon request of staff. And we did not address our final agenda item, which is the status of the ad hoc committees, as we had lost our quorum at that point and about at our time limit. And that is our report.
Any questions of Director Muthart? Okay, seeing none, before we go to public comment on the administrative reports, committee reports, or consent calendar item, does any director want to pull one of the five consent items? I did miss the director report of attendance at other agency committee meetings. We do sit on the Morro Bay National Estuary Program Executive Committee, and Director Kelly attended the Executive Committee meeting.
I'll keep it brief. The Morro Bay Estuary Program is coming up in their cycle of their funding, and they'll be reviewing, I believe it's their CCMP, which is their document that gives them direction. And they had been recently in Washington, D.C. to meet with EPA, et cetera, on their funding. They will be doing an extensive public process. So if you're interested in participating in some of the work that the Morro Bay Estuary Program is going to be doing over the next 5 to 10 years, they will be, just keep your eyes open. It's going to be an interesting process. They're developing a process for more public input. The only action that we took specifically was to nominate and vote on Holly Sletland becoming the new environmental seat representative on that, on the executive committee.
And I would like to add that we will keep the public informed as to when those public input sessions are for the update. What they're really looking at doing is their five to 10 year master plan. So that's what we're updating it, I guess. I apologize. I had forgot of the LOCAC committee report, and we have Fred Delegata here.
Fred Delegata, a third district LOCAC representative. We meet the fourth Thursday of each month, and we mostly discuss land use issues. Our next meeting will be March 24th in this very building at 7 p.m. We have an open position. It's the appointed position. Our long-term member, Dick Parker, is resigning as of the end of March, and so we are looking for applicants to fill this position. You can contact Vicki, our chair, at Vicki, V-I-C-K-I, LOCAC chair, at earthlink.net. We also discussed Marsh smart meters and recommended to the Board of Supervisors that they come up with a resolution, and they are meeting March 8th, I believe, to go over the final resolution that staff put together. We are also working on gathering information for our drainage report. I know the CSD has also completed their report, and anybody that wants to give any information to us, we're still taking information. Once again, contact Vicki. And finally, Public Works, report your potholes or any other road conditions to them at 781-5252. And that's the end of my report.
Yeah, a couple of quick questions. Dick Parker is an appointed position, so if people are interested in that, should they just contact Vicki or Supervisor Gibson? Or
They should contact Vicki.
Okay. Could you give her contact information?
Yes, Vicki, V-I-C-K-I, LOCAC chair at earthlink.net.
Okay. And Director Kelly will be giving our report at your next meeting.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you. Yes, Director Baltimore.
Thank you for the report, Fred. Just one comment. I was there in attendance for the board, and the sheriff's report noted that there were 463 calls, and you know, he broke them down to all that. But what he repeated a number of times was that there were 13 thefts in their calls in Los Osos, and the most of them were due to opportunities, meaning that things were unlocked and left open. And he reiterated to the public, please don't give these opportunities to the thieves. And so the thefts that occur in Los Osos seem to be thefts of opportunity. So if we mind our P's and Q's a little bit better, the Sheriff's Department to ask us lock things up and not leave things in sight.
Thank you.
Thank you. I do believe it was lock your car and lock your house, and then you can eliminate the opportunity.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you.
So with that, then, I understand that nobody wants to pull an item from the consent calendar. Is that correct? So with that, then, we'll move to public comment on the administrative reports, the committee reports, or any of the items on the consent calendar.
Yes, Mr. President, board members, my name is Jeff Edwards. I have several questions and some comments based on what I've heard. First of all, I have questions with regard to the blending facility at South Bay. To date, how much money has been spent on this facility, both hard and soft costs? Secondly, how long have we been working on this blending facility? What's the total elapsed time? Lastly, how long has the upper basin well been locked? The other question or observation, I heard a remark that I'm not sure I heard correctly from your general manager, and that there is no known source of recharge for the lower basin. I'd like to remind everyone that this community has been relying on the lower basin as a primary source of drinking water for decades. Moreover, the lower basin surfaces, also known as daylights, at the Los Osos Creek bottom south of Los Osos Valley Road. So it's a fairly easy connection. Our lower basin is recharged largely by the creek. Imagine that. This kind of statement, if it's correct, maybe Mr. Gilmore misspoke, reflects a complete lack of understanding of how our basin is configured geologically. The reason we've pulled seawater in is that for all these decades that people have been living here, we've been sucking it out of the lower basin, and we've been distributing or discharging into the upper basin via the septic tanks. In other words, we have not been returning the water. So I'm baffled by this. Next, this idea of shifting pumping from the lower basin to the upper basin is not a done deal. I don't support this concept. In fact, I reject it. Do we want to drink our septic return? I don't care if we blend it with pure water, with Sierra water. I'm not drinking it. And any concept that this is a sustainable approach to balancing our basin is absolute absurdity. And, you know, I've seen this. If you say it enough again and again, and if you speak it enough, it's all of a sudden the truth. If you look at the resource management system update, they've folded this idea already into the document that we need to shift our pumping to the upper basin. If you look at the countywide water master plan, they've already included this concept in that document. This isn't a done deal. So, you know, let's wake up and figure this thing out, because, you know, the notion of shifting to the upper basin and relinquishing our lower basin to be lost forever is a recipe for imported water. I'll close by asking, there was a conspicuously absent report by your general manager about the March 1st RAC meeting. Thanks.
Thank you.
Julie Tacker.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You own the computer model. You and the ISJ partners own the computer model. And what I was here a few months ago and asked that for a mere $5,000, you can run the model to include discharging at the creek and seeing where that water would go. I think it would be money well spent, and ISJ partners, I think, would be interested in doing that. I think your Emergency Services Committee date is conflicting with your Utility Advisory Committee, and I think your community is interested in both things and cannot be in both places at one time. It's not conflicting?
It's been changed.
Oh, well then, it was the same date.
It was.
Only one time.
Okay, my mistake. What is interesting is your Utility Advisory Committee is taking up the draft water master plan, and I'd like to know if that's available online now. It is, okay. And I guess the reason I'm behind the eight ball or in front of the curve ball or what... Sorry, that's an inside joke, is that I was hoping to get ticklers from the email link. I get agendas for the CSD board meetings, but I wanted to get committee agendas also coming in my email. And I thought by signing up for the email online, but it's not. I'm not getting a tickler saying, "Hey, this committee's meeting." And I think that you have that capability, and I think I'd like that. I think the community would like that. With the draft water master plan, that does interest me, and I will go and look at it. Are the costs associated with the ISJ improvements already in there? Because that was something we should have seen some time ago as far as infrastructure improvements. I'd like to see how those fold into the Water Master Plan. And then looking at the countywide Water Master Plan, Master Water Plan, they call it. You're the Water Master Plan, they're the Master Water Plan. Their plan is marching forward, and to date, you still have not commented on it. And something that Jeff said a moment ago, is that they're folding in ideas that have not been vetted in our community. And I think even blending, when it was approved in 2006, was as an emergency stopgap. It was not the way we wanted to have our water distributed throughout our community. And we do have constituents other than nitrates that we should be worried about in that upper aquifer. And again, that has not been vetted. We have not had that community discussion. If that's how we want to drink our water, or give us the choice of maybe an import project.
Okay,
I don't
you.
Like talking about that,
thank
but
you.
We need to have that conversation.
Okay. And I think Director Moodhart is aware of our concerns. Frank?
Frank Solio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to bring up the consent item 6C, okay, and about the hiring a consultant. Is that the? And I'm not in support of hiring a. Did I get the right number?
That's an action item. That's not a consent item.
Oh, okay. Then I'll skip.
There will
it.
Be individual hearings on those items.
Thank
five
you.
Is the consent calendar.
Then I'll go to my other. Thank you. I am supportive staff on that one. Smart meters. I know that you said that it's not a preview of this board, but however, I think it is. And why I think it is on smart meters is you're going to have a smart meter placed on the fire department's building, on your utilities building. So you have properties that the smart meter is going to end up at the place where you have employees, where you rent facilities and you have employees. So I think it's something you need to discuss for the welfare of your employees and for the finances of the district to see if that these things are going to meet your needs. So I think they are there to discuss in that realm. The other thing I wanted to bring up is the when the general manager talked about seawater intrusion being stopped or reversed, I think I've been up here a dozen times saying, these reports, because I've been in on the early reports, say, no, you're not going to reverse seawater intrusion. That's it. You may be able to stop it, may be able to stop seawater intrusion. But I haven't read a report where it says you can reverse it. Because I've been in this room where they explain the molecules being stuck in the rock parts, and you're not going to be able to flush it all out unless you have tons and tons of water, which we don't even have. So, and it's important to get that information correct, because when I went to the water board meeting, they're quoting information that's incorrect. They're saying that private wells and agriculture wells are insignificant amount of pumping. And if our general manager is going to the RAC meeting saying, we are responsible, CSD is responsible, when this board, previous board members, have written a letter to the board of supervisors saying it's the responsibility of everybody in the district who pumps from the basin. It's not the water purveyors. It's not the private wealth or agriculture. Everybody who has their straw in the basin is responsible for overdrafting. And I don't know how to get that message over there. So when we have representation on these boards or at the state water board or the county supervisors, our representative will make that clear. It's everybody's responsibility. And we need to share that cost straight across the board. And that has been said by the old board. Thank you.
Pardon me, thank you. Lindy and Richard, are there any other speakers? Okay. Alan, yes? Alan, are you going to speak? Then could you get in line behind Lindy, please? Thank you.
Lindy Owen. I think that Dan Gilmore confused maybe many listeners, and maybe he's confused. The lower aquifer notoriously has been a pure drinking supply with no nitrates. The South Bay well, when they tried to pump in and set up a blending station, from what I understand, they punctured and released water from the upper aquifer that is nitrated into the lower aquifer, and there's a plume, and they're trying to clear that up. It doesn't help us to be confused about what the issues in our basin are. The upper aquifer is the one that is nitrated from agriculture runoff, et cetera, and possible septic tank leach fields. There is no real proof to any of it. That's why we have continued to ask for more studies. We would like to see the nitrate amounts now, because I believe that we're within reason. If we take off the golf course, the nitrates that are appearing in the golf course, we are within reason. So another issue with saltwater intrusion is if we begin pumping saltwater into our drinking supply and accidentally get too much in, our sewer plant will fail. It cannot take the saltwater out. That's why saltwater is far more important than the nitrate pollution. And again, it is, you know, we should have had information that it was moving 12 times faster than it was years ago. Instead, we depended on Wallace and Cleese's studies, who only recently have realized how dangerously fast it is moving. That's because we continue to pump from the lower aquifer. I believe the upper aquifer has areas that could be pumped and the nitrates can be removed. That's sort of been a discussion that Golden State was going to do it. They are charging their customers right now for that process, though they haven't even started it. And then the other issue with smart meters is it is a concern, and it isn't about the water meters. The ones that the PG&E is installing, they take readings every minute or every hour. It's a constant magnetic RFMs. I'm saying it wrong, I'm sorry. It's a constant bombardment of radio emissions that are making people sick, and it needs to be discussed. The county is going to be discussing it next week, so I believe it is an opportunity for us to write a letter. LOCAC is writing a letter in support of further studies of it before we let them come into our town and install all that stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, and then Richard, and we'll close public comment.
All right, many topics here. So what I'll state first is the person to contact in LOCAC as regards drainage, and that should happen fairly soon, is V-I-C-K-I, LOCAC chair at earthlink.net. And what happened is I think the county was actually properly proactive in this case and contacted LOCAC for the purpose of obtaining information about drainage patterns. So if you are a homeowner or a longtime renter in Los Osos, pay heed. Over the next few years, water is going to enter your property or not enter your property during the rainy years, and there's been a previous experience of that when the first sewer lines were actually placed in the ground, I believe it was 17th Street, it altered drainage patterns as they were doing that, and people had their homes flooded. So pay attention over the next few years and understand that the roads, which currently have many potholes on them, which makes them pervious services, are possibly going to be in much better condition. They're not going to be necessarily curved, but what will happen is that you will probably, during the construction, after construction, see different patterns of water entering your property. So be proactive about it. Contact LOCAC right now if you have some ideas already. Maybe you need to, this relates to water coming onto your property from the roads. Just something that people should know. People have had their garages and houses flooded due to alterations in the surface. Other than that, I hope the Finance Committee continues to meet. Even it may have to look at its function as a open ad hoc committee until such time. You definitely get valuable information from a member of the Los Osos public who happens to reside in Cayucas. So I hope you still meet until such time as you have a quorum. The comments made by Mr. Edwards are quite correct, although sometimes a creek bottom itself does get silted up. It is the areas around the creek that are the penetration. Unfortunately, we live on an aquifer that took 8,000 years to fill to the point that people could live on it. So truly, the future water supply for Los Osos is not certain, and as Julie Tacker did mention, in addition to nitrates, you do have pharmaceuticals that have been detected in all locations in the upper aquifer. It is a tough choice, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it's something that people in the future will have to swallow. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard, and then we'll close public comment.
Richard Margetson, with respect to Lindy's comment about the biannual nitrate testing, because I don't think anybody from the board was at the regional water board meeting, they spent a majority of their comment period after public comment talking about that. They were a little surprised that that was stopped in 2006. Board members, the executive director, were very interested. They addressed that issue to county staff, which was basically Bruce Gibson and John Waddell. And, you know, it was made very clear to them that they wanted that to start up again. When he was asked at his office hours last week, Mr. Gibson and Mr. Waddell acted like they didn't know what we were talking about when we asked if that was underway. I asked that this board get involved by either writing a letter or doing something and asking that that be started up again, because the regional board was very concerned about it and very interested. I'm also just want to emphasize again what I talked about during public comment. There is going to be a determination by the end of the year by the state board about this interest rate, and I believe this board needs to have input through a letter or a board decision on where they stand on the county keeping this project. You know, my stance has always been if they build it, they can keep it. I don't care. But it's your decision to make on behalf of this community, because that's going to affect this district down the road financially for a long time, whichever way it goes. A couple other minor things. If you've noticed, water consumption in the water district is still tracking at somewhere between 20 and 25 million gallons less than last year, substantial. And I missed finance because I was in Sacramento on Monday night looking for a hotel while you were having your meeting. But this chart of accounts and balances, I still... Maybe it was discussed, but the total cash as of 2/28/2011, I'm gonna give one example. There's a number of them in here, but the operating cash for the fire department is not $764,760. I appreciate how this has been broken down, but there's not appropriate footnotes for these accounts. This is not reflective of the condition of this district in these accounts. And at some point, there has to be footnotes. If we're not going to do it through the audit process, the annual audit process, then we have to do it through some footnote process, because the fire department does not have that, plus the $823,000 that are in reserves. It's not there.
Thank you. I'll just have a couple comments, and I don't know if staff has a couple comments. I think that we do, in a future agenda item, need to look at the conditions of the State Water Board funds regarding operation of the sewer plant or wastewater project. So somewhere down the road prior to December, I think we need to agendize that and look at that and send it to utility advisory and financial advisory. But
watch the video too.
As soon as we get it, we will. Yes, that's one of the reasons that I want to get copies of it. But let's put that on as a future agenda item. Regarding the RAC meeting, which was held yesterday, we did not have a report on that because of the timing that it was yesterday. So that's something we need to work on in the future, because the timing is just bang, bang. So I apologize for that. That's something that I didn't take into account. I also think that to staff, we do need to look at commenting or potentially commenting on the county's water master plan as it goes through the process, because it is getting to have some depth. So I think that's something that we need to have staff look at and bring it to us if we do need to comment on it. The biannual testing of nitrate, too, I would refer that to staff for looking at that. And last but not least, I think Mr. Edwards' questions, if we can put those on our agenda for previously asked questions for next meeting to respond to them, I think would be helpful. Anybody else have any other comments?
I don't know if we asked staff or utilities to, what I like to see is the smart meters, and whether it's, what, as I understand what happened in LOCAC is that LOCAC asked the county to not install, to write a letter, not to, and claim or say don't have smart meters installed in San Luis Obispo County until AB 31 is decided upon. 37. You're right. I even wrote down. as 37 is decided upon. And my understanding of AB 37 is that it's legislations that gives people a choice of whether a smart meter or a direct meter is to be installed in their house. So it was a recommendation that says, hey, just let us know over here, we would like, before meters are installed, we'd like to see how this bill passes, whether, you know, passes or doesn't pass. And then at that point, go forward. So if the utilities committee could look at that and see if it's worthy of us making a similar comment, or at least the thing that I like about this is that it brings the smart meters to the attention of the public. So at least maybe one or two people watching this might go, smart meter, what's that? So even if we decide not to, or the utilities committee decides not to write a letter or a recommendation similar, at least it was brought out there. And then, anyway, that's what I asked.
Before we get into a detailed discussion, this is not an item on our agenda, right. So I think if you could answer the question, was that part of your previous discussion? And if not, we'll direct it to go back to your committee, is where I think we need to leave this at this point.
Right. Okay. We'll take it back to the committee.
So we'll just leave it at that. Any other discussion or comments? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the administrative reports, committee reports, and consent calendar items?
So moved.
Is there a second? Second. Any objection to your, pardon? A motion by Director Baltimore, seconded by Director Vogel. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Unanimous roll call. Seeing none, unanimous roll call. That will move us to the general action items. The first item is item 6A, consideration of amended board bylaws and rules of decorum, and to adopt a resolution. We already did that.
Do you want me to do it? You can.
We're ready to go. Yes, okay. John.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the audience. At the last meeting, the board reviewed the bylaws and heard staff report and requested some modifications, and I'm going to the bylaws, which I'm going to review now. However, I want the board to realize that in this review, you can suggest further modifications. Staff on there can incorporate those modifications into your bylaws during this review process, and you can approve the resolution tonight as amended, as the bylaws are amended. So I don't want the board or the audience to feel like these are the bylaws, and if you're going to amend them again, you have to bring them back to the board. You can articulate edits. If they're approved by the board, they'll just be incorporated into the bylaws. The first major revision I wanted to go back is on page 2, and it's section 2.8. Section 2.8 was meant to address conflicts of interest and the process of a board member recusing themselves from participating in an item in which they found they had a conflict. This, the way this is written, the way 2.8 was originally written, was confusing and I don't believe consistent with the law. For one thing, 2.8, as originally written, reflected an abstention as opposed to a recusal, and those are two different procedures and processes, so I modified it to reflect recusal. The second part that was confusing to me as this was written is that it seemed to say that even if you had a conflict of interest, that you could speak as a regular member of the public on that item. And I can assure you that that is not the status of the law. It is true that if you have a conflict of interest and you declare the conflict and disclose the nature of the conflict and step down from the dais, if you have a matter of personal interest to you, you can participate as a public member. But sort of keep in mind that this is a very narrow exception, and it means such things as it's your property that is before the board, or it's your business. It's not a general, I have a personal broad interest in a topic. So I wanted to make sure that that was clear, and so we revised the bylaws to reflect the actual procedure for stepping down and those limited circumstances where a board member could participate even though they had declared a conflict. And lastly, to address the issue that if three or more members have a conflict of interest on a particular item, what is the methodology for resolving that? Because then you lose the quorum. And for those of you that are interested, you resolve it by lot. In other words, you draw straws or draw cards or numbers from a hat, et cetera, but it's by chance. So that explains those revisions. Page 5 contains a misspelled word. So we cleaned that up. On page 8, we revised the director guidelines to reflect the latest pronouncement in the government code related to serial meetings, and you will find those at 8.10 and 8.11 on page 8. Page 9 discusses director compensation and director reimbursement. And this may be an item, an area where the board may want to further edit. As discussed at the last board meeting, 9.2 was modified through, I want to put this in context before I get down the road for the benefit of the audience and the TV audience. First of all, director compensation is limited to a maximum of $600 per month, and not only that, a maximum of $100 per day, no matter how many functions they attend. So I don't want people to say that there aren't really built-in limitations. What we attempt to do here is to identify those circumstances under which directors will be compensated. Not expanding the limits of compensation or the $100 per day limit. So by law, you're entitled to $100 for each regular or meeting that you attend or each meeting, special meeting that you attend. So that's restated in 9.1. 9.2 talks about compensation. And the board did revise that to state that each director would be entitled to $50 as compensation for each required training session, and there are required training sessions under the law, or other function meeting attended by him or her as a director at the request of the board. So those constitute $50 per meeting attended. Again, subject to the $100 total per day and $600 total per month. We added, and this is my language, we added a new 9.3. And the reason why I added this, and I'm going to explain it to you, is because this board has gone to meeting just once a month, and as opposed to twice a month. So things come up in between these monthly meetings where the district's interest might be would be deemed prudent to be represented at a meeting. So 9.3 says the district president, or in his or her absence, the vice president, is authorized to receive $50 as compensation for each county or state agency meeting attended by him or her when he or she determines that district representation is necessary to protect and or advance the interests of the district or its residents or customers. So it gives the board president the discretion if a meeting comes up at a state agency or a county meeting where the district representation is determined to be necessary, he or she can attend and be compensated $50. Again, we go through the limitations. In no event shall a director be compensation exceed $100 per day. And lastly, director compensation shall not exceed $600 in any one calendar month. The next item that we address on page 9 is director reimbursement. And this is reimbursement for actual out-of-pocket expenses. And this one may, in talking with the director, you may want to consider further modifications to 10.1. 10.1 says, subject to the following rules and budgetary limitations, each board member is entitled to reimbursement for their actual and necessary expense or its residents and customers. Again, that's put in there because we do meet monthly, so it's very hard to get something before a board for pre-approval. There is one modification that I discussed with a potential board, with a board member, and that is 10.1. We could rephrase that to say the following. Subject to the following rules and budgetary limitations, each member is authorized to attend and is entitled to reimbursement for their actual and necessary expenses. So that there would be a your board bylaws would pre-authorize those type of attendance. If that language as modified is acceptable, I would also add a new paragraph A under the rules that a board member would have to consult with a general manager to make sure that the budget for director education had not been expended. In other words, there would have to be a check and a balance under that particular one to confirm that the budget allocation for director education had not been expended prior to incurring the expense. So you might want to earmark page 9 because you may want to come back to it. The other ones were suggestions by the board president that were actually approved at the last meeting. But these just has to do with the committees and the date of appointment of members and how long their membership extends to. The other one that we added was the ethics training requirements. This is at the suggestion of SDRMA, our local insurance carrier, our insurance carrier, regarding the requirement for ethics training for new board members and seated board members. And that concludes. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding any other sections of the bylaws, but those were the ones that we looked at revising at the last meeting. Again, If you do want to edit and further revise these bylaws, you're welcome to do that. Just that when you adopt the resolution, you would say the motion would be, we would add 10.1 after the second bullet. There would be a new A. The existing A would become subparagraph B.
So we would add a new A that basically applied to that first bullet point that said that they had to consult to make sure there was funds available in director education funds.
Right. All right. And I would think that the same thing for the board president, that they were going to seek reimbursement, that they would also confirm, if they were going to use their discretion to determine that you had to attend, go to Sacramento or someplace to attend, that you would confirm, you know, that there were no budget constraints.
Right. I understand. I was trying to understand if you were just talking about putting it after the first bullet point or after both bullet points.
After both.
Okay. I just wanted that for clarification. Any other questions of John?
Yeah, my concern, and you know, not that you could do this right here now, is that the most liberal language is put into the bylaws to allow the board, president, vice president, or directors to attend and not be hamstringed by having to call special meetings or any other issues. So that's my goal, because some things have been brought up, and you know, but then it was immediately said that that can't happen because this bylaw here. So my concern is that it's a very liberal language to allow attendance to occur.
Right. I would probably, Mr. President, might respond. I would say that this is
John, I want to remind the board, this is for questions, not for discussion. We don't have discussion until after public comment.
Right.
So
good.
As far as response to a question, John, I think you're fine.
Right. I would characterize these bylaws as being capable of addressing the fact that we have monthly meetings, and to address your concern that we need to have some flexibility in them. However, what these bylaws don't say, what you couldn't do without board approval, is for like a director on their own initiative to attend the Sacramento. Only the president or the vice president could go to Sacramento, and they're the natural spokesperson for the district. So that language would only apply to the.
Are there any other questions before we go to public comment? Okay, seeing none, public comment on item 6A.
Statement, if you are going to add section A, that is subject to the limitation of the specific budget line item. We actually don't control our budgets by individual line items, but we could maybe say that it is actually for the coming year. I have segregated out the utilities from that group. Right now, it combines education, meals, and utilities. I have segregated out education and travel. So if we have to put a limit on that letter A, maybe we could say that it's subject to the limitation of the educational group of accounts instead of an individual line.
That's a great point, Mr. President, if I might respond.
Right.
What I hope the language would say is budget approval shall be confirmed by the general manager prior to incurring the expense, which would allow flexibility as to whether or not the general manager thought that the budget would be consistent with them attending. Because as you know, my concern is not the first quarter or the second quarter or the third quarter, it's actually the fourth quarter as to whether or not those items of in that particular budget. But
John, I don't know if other directors have comments, but I didn't think that language was necessary, quite frankly, because of the fact that we're only talking about a one-month period here. So we do have the monthly meetings, so I don't think we're going to have a budgetary crisis in 1 month with directors attending training sessions.
What I was thinking here that this authorization to attend these meetings, if the modification was accepted, would be a blanket authorization for board members to attend educational programs, conferences, seminars that are related to district function and or district development, as long as their decision to attend, A, meant the requirements not on the agenda, then it would have to be approved by the board. So we're just trying to streamline that process so we don't get caught in one of those things where a director wants to attend something but did not have the foresight 60 days in advance to get it to the general manager to get it on the agenda for approval.
And John, I think my concern is I don't have a problem with doing that as a subsection to the first items where we're talking about program conferences and seminars and director development, but I have a problem with that as a subsection of the president or the board, vice president attending a state agency meeting.
Okay, so maybe we can do
That's why I asked the question, could we put it as a subsection to the first part only?
Right. So how about this? Let's take it this way. Let's make the second bullet regarding the president, make that 10.1, so it would stand by itself. Move 10.1 to 10.2, and then the rules A, B, C, D.
That would accomplish what I'm trying to get at.
Okay. And eliminate the bullet? No, right, but we would say we would modify it. Subject to the following rules and regulations, the board president in his absence, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I guess Ampi helped clarify it, but that's why I asked my original question. So do we have any other questions or discussion?
That doesn't address the line item issue.
I think that if we go with the idea that there is going to be a amount of money allocated for director attendance, et cetera, it doesn't have to be a line item. I just think that it has to be run in advance 60 days prior to that to the general manager to make sure. So then if a problem does occur, the board will have time to act on it.
Is that okay, Ampi?
Yes,
that's adequate?
But I have another comment.
Okay.
All right, well, Pat, yes.
Okay. Some of these paragraphs and sections are travel related, and since I'm going to be working on the travel policy, I will try to incorporate all these things, but just want to we are planning to have a travel policy that is very all inclusive and will pull some, you know. But anyway, that's just a comment. It's not an issue.
Well, I think once we do adapt, pardon me,
government code section sites so that you can take a look.
Yeah, just for your information, John, that's something the Financial Advisory Committee has been looking at, our financial policies, and that was where we decided to start, was with travel policies.
Okay.
So
we want to make it sure that it does accurately.
We will make
reflect.
Sure, obviously, that it's compatible or conforms to the law. So. But that's something that we'll be going through a process with the Financial Advisory Committee before it comes to the board. So do we have additional questions or comments? So if we could then have a motion, I believe the motion would be to approve the bylaws with the changes suggested by district council sites to 10.1 and 10.2.
Yep.
I make that motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Moved by Vice President Kelly, seconded by Director Vogel. Any more discussion? Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, we'll have it approved on unanimous roll call, which moves us to item 6B on our general action item calendar, award contract for 3rd Street well evaluation and pump replacement. The action requested is award the contract to Filipponi and Thompson Drilling, the Lotus responsible bidder. We could have the staff report, please.
Thank you, President Ohilski. The 3rd Street well is usually one of the district's most reliable wells. Although it's right next to the bay and its depth would place it in the upper aquifer, it's shown no signs of seawater intrusion and very low nitrate levels.
It's considered an anomaly in the sense that the source of this high-quality water has not been determined. Recently, the wells had a couple of positive tests for total coliform. This is a bacteria that typically is associated with surface water supplies. Although it's routinely tested, it's unusual that it would show up in a well since the ground is considered to be a very efficient filter. Typically, a positive test for total coliform would indicate either improper sampling techniques or some surface water somehow entering the well. For this reason, a positive test would trigger an immediate resampling of the raw water to rule out any sampling error. Staff has taken a step-by-step approach to investigating the cause of the problem. Cracks have been sealed around the wellhead in an effort to prevent surface water from entering the well. Nevertheless, another recent test had a positive result. It should be noted that this sample does not constitute a health concern for our water customers. This is a routine sampling of raw water prior to the addition of chlorine for disinfection. However, the well has been taken out of service for the time being, which is standard protocol. The action recommended by the district's consultant is to pull the well pump and motor and inspect the well and its casing for cracks. If water is observed entering the upper port, cost proposals were solicited from three reputable local well contractors, and their proposals and a bid summary are included as attachments to the report. The proposal from Filipponi and Thompson was the lowest cost proposal received by the district. So the recommended action is to authorize the general manager to award a contract to Filipponi and Thompson for evaluation of the Third Street well and replacement of the pump and motor at a cost of $7,657, which includes approximately $2,000 in contingency funding.
Any questions of the general manager? Okay, can we, any public comment?
Mr. President, would you ask Mr. Seitz if there is anything that precludes the general manager from saying who the consultant was or is in any future discussion? Sometimes the consultants have their own general specific ideas on how things should go, and I don't see if there's some reason that so be it. But if there is no reason, then I would suggest that the general manager let the public know who the consultant is.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. John, would you like to respond to this, or Dan?
There's no prohibition on designating consultants that were hired by the district.
And I'm not trying to be secretive. For a lot of our well facilities and control equipment, there's a couple of consultants we've used historically, primarily most recently it's FRM, Fluid Resource Management. They're the ones that have recommended that we take this approach.
Thank you. Any discussion on this item?
Nope.
Can we have a motion then to award contract to Filipponi and Thompson Drilling?
I'll move.
Moved by Director Vogel. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Vice President Kelly. Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the item is approved unanimously. That brings us to item C, request for state of qualifications for staff survey and analysis. The action requested is to approve the request for statement of qualifications and authorize staff to issue the request. Before we have the staff report, I would like to acknowledge for the record that we did receive a email today regarding this.
Attached to this report is a draft request for a statement of qualifications. The request was prepared with input from the board president, district council, and the general manager. The board can recommend amendments to the draft or approve it as presented. The goal with respect to timing of the study is to have the consultant's report and recommendations prior to finalization of the district's 2011-12 budget. A proposed schedule is included in the language of the request for statement of qualifications. Since general manager's recommendation for this item is that by motion, the board approve the request for statement of qualifications and authorize the general manager to issue the request.
Thank you. Before I go to questions, I would like to clarify one thing. There's no expenditure of money involved in this. All we're asking for is qualifications. So if there's concerns about what this is going to cost the district, it's nothing. This will come back to the board for approval and hiring of the consultant if, in fact, we do feel that there is a qualified consultant to do that. So this is just sending out the request for qualifications. And I did want to clarify that. And that's not only just for general information, but in response to the email that we did receive today. So, do we have any other questions?
I have a question. Just taking into account what you just said, but also on here, because we have on public record here as a financial impact, we do give numbers, and I'm just curious maybe where those numbers came from, and is that something we normally do as far as when we send something out to bid, kind of give a guideline where people should be? That's just at the bottom. $10,000 to $15,000.
That's in the staff report.
That's in the staff report. That will not be going out to them. That's included in the staff report to give the board of directors a concept about the scope of the fees we're talking about.
Yeah,
so it gives you background whether you approve this or not. We still don't have to award it, but I know you're talking about whether we're giving.
Are we giving? Yeah. Are we giving targets?
It's a little late now because it's here.
I understand. My question was somewhat general in that.
I think that's something that staff should consider in the future, whether or not what kind of information we want to get out there on these RFQs. Any other questions? We'll go to public comment on this item.
District time. And I thought Wallace Group did a staffing analysis for the water department a couple years ago. I completely object to this potential expenditure at this point. And if you have $10,000 to $15,000 to spend on something, spend it on the nitrate monitoring. The letter from Kim Daniels. The employees aren't getting a salary increase, but we potentially could be spending $15,000 to see if we have enough employees or don't have enough employees. I'm kind of curious what brought this on. I could understand if the district if this was a city that had 2,000 employees and budget problems, and you're trying to find out if you can get by with 1,800. But with the numbers we're talking here in this community, I'll leave it at that. I think it speaks for itself. I think the item speaks for itself in this environment we're in now, not only as a CSD financially, but the community economically. I think this money could be much better spent. And I also think with a little bit of Wallace Group's help and staff, the general manager, I think, could obtain some of this information. It could maybe possibly be done in-house. Thank you.
Leanne, any other colleagues? Okay, Leanne, we'll close after you.
Okay. I am, to say the least, shocked to see that there's a number placed in here. Because if you think for a moment that anybody you're sending this out to is not going to reach for the number, you're making a big mistake. And the best thing you could do at this moment is to turn this down and reconsider it and put out a request, if that's what you think you need to do, bearing in mind what Richard has just got through saying, at least don't put a figure on it. You think for one moment that somebody who will be bidding is what it amounts to on coming into
staffing, and that's the primary motivator for going out to an outside consultant for this. So to answer the question of why we're doing it, the issue about whether the amount in there is helpful or not, or hurtful, harmful. We are going to have to make significant cuts in our budgets, and we're trying to identify the sources of those cuts the best way we can.
With respect to the dollar figure that's in the report, I should say that
It's California, I believe it's California law, John, correct me if I'm wrong, but for consultant services agreement, the decision to select one over another is entirely on qualifications. That's why this is called a request for statement of qualifications rather than a request for bids or proposals. The number here was spelled out purely as a range of price for the board's benefit, it covers that range, covers actual costs that were incurred by another community services district of comparable size. So it was strictly given to give some guidance to the board as to what to expect from the cost.
Yeah, and John.
And it won't be included.
Right. No.
I just want to make one other comment. The language is in the staff report, or the figures are in the staff report, but they are not included. And I want to emphasize the word not included in the actual request for statement of qualifications.
Okay, please. I think that that's an important distinction that everybody needs to understand is we're not asking for proposals, we're asking for qualifications. So whether or not the person is qualified is the issue we're talking here. We're not talking for financial proposals. We're talking about finding out if there are qualified people out there that are willing to do this work and then sitting down and discussing it with them before there comes a recommendation back to the board. So,
Vice
President Kelly?
Yeah. In addition to hiring an outside consultant, since I've been on the board, we've had one general manager leave, an interim general manager, which caused a staffing structure which created supervisorial positions, and then a new general manager. There was letting go of the water department head. I mean, we've made some staffing changes, but we're still uncertain. I think it's fair for me to say I feel uncertain as to whether we've had adequate changes. And the analysis, I think, needs to be external assistance.
Yeah, and I think to add further, I mean, what we're looking at here, we're not looking at necessarily just staff. We're also looking at the positions, the classifications that we have. So we're looking at not only the staff, but as to are we efficiently classifying the staff that we have. So there's two components of this. Even if we do hire the consultant, they may not recommend reduction in staff, but at least we'll have an outside objective look at it so we can go to the bankruptcy court and say, look, we've looked at this. We've done the best we can. Here's an outside consultant that says we've got what we need.
The bankruptcy court has instructed us to look pretty seriously at our budget and where additional cuts may or may not be made, and we have to justify every decision that we make. And there's been too much inconsistency and change over the last couple of years to feel confident that we've done the best we can.
So, do we have Director Muthar?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I can also foresee that in the long run, when you get an efficient running operation or you can save money in the long run, so you can make this money up in a pretty short period of time getting the right people doing the right thing, and I think that's a plus for that.
Any other comments? Okay, can we have a motion then, please?
I move that we send out a request for the statement of qualifications for staffing surveys and analysis by the general manager by the date stated in the staff report.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Moved by Vice President Kelly, seconded by Director Muthar. Any further discussion? Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the item is approved unanimously. That will bring us to item 6D.
Thank you, President Uhelski. In July of 2009, Resolution 2009-12 was approved, creating two adjunct supervisor positions at the district. One was created to supervise administrative staff, while the other was created to supervise utilities staff. One of the primary reasons for the creation of these two supervisory positions was the reduction in management staff and the fact that the interim general manager was employed part-time. With the impending impacts of the district's bankruptcy, reductions in staff costs will be essential in order to ensure the ongoing viability of the district. It's anticipated that with the approval.
Seeing none, we'll close public comment. Any discussion on 6D? You don't we have a motion then to approve Resolution 2011-03, suspending Section 7100 of the district's personnel policy.
So as moved.
Moved by Director Muthart, seconded by...
I'll second it.
Director Baltimore. Any further discussion? Any objection? Unanimous roll call. Seeing none, items approved unanimously, which brings us to our last item on the agenda, item 6E, which is consideration of additional water leak adjustment credits for the two district water customers. And I've been advised by legal counsel that since the appellants are not here, that we need to open this to public comment and then continue it for their attendance.
Yeah. President, just in case people are listening out in the audience, we did adopt an ordinance that would allow greater flexibility from the board level than the general manager level. The general manager has the ability to adjust leak adjustments by 50% of the bill. Recently, the board passed an ordinance that allowed the board to even reduce it further, but it did have, that ordinance did have some stipulations in it regarding it. Basically, they're found at paragraph D of the new ordinance. It says the district board will consider the presentation of the affected water customer. Customer must be present. The application and findings of the general manager referenced in paragraph B above. So I want to make sure that people understand this is an additional leak adjustment credit beyond that was previously authorized, but the applicant must be present in order for the board to ask questions regarding due diligence and facts and circumstances. So, and as we assume that the affected property owners or water customers are not here.
So the item will be continued, but since it is on the agenda, we will take public comment.
I have just a question. We have no way of knowing when all of a sudden, in a particular part, more water is being used than is normal?
The ratepayer. I assume they received notice that this matter was going to be on the agenda and that they needed to be here if they wanted further consideration of their request for a further reduction. And while I think that the bill sounds absolutely outrageous, and I would have serious questions about, you know, did this happen in one day on the last day of the two-month period so that nobody knew what was going on, or how the heck did they, how does somebody run up from about maximum of $200 in a two-month period, $6,000 plus? With what kind of a leak was this? But putting all of that aside, which I don't think anybody here is really prepared to answer, what about that? Somebody gets notice and they're being zapped $3,000 over and above what they're being allowed as an allowance for this leakage, and they're not here? And we continue it for another month to consider it? That's very generous, but why aren't they here? I know you can't answer that, but why is this matter being continued? That's my question.
Thank you. I will answer that question. The reason that I'm proposing to continue the item is that this is the first case that's come up on our revised policy. So I wanted to make sure that there was adequate public notice, that they realized the fact that they didn't need to be here. On subsequent cases, I think that we would not continue it, but in this particular case, being it's the first one, I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt that they may not have understood that that required their personal attendance. So that's the reason I suggested the continuance of the item. And I would like to add one thing that John said. In our policy that we adopted, or I'm sorry if it wasn't John or Dan, but in our policy, the revised policy we adopted, we cannot reduce the credit to below the cost of providing the water. So there is a down limit to it. We can't make an adjustment that would take it below that amount. So right now, the general manager has the ability to do a 50% credit. The board then has the ability to add to that credit up to the cost of the production of water. So I just wanted to make that
going on. And so should we say, you know, does it need to be written down that for the future that, you know, it's one time without some sort of correspondence with the general manager ahead of time, because sometimes things do come up that they don't show, you know, there are no continuances. And then the second thing is, yes, I had the same thought with the price. Personally, and just out there for people in Los Osos, recently my water bill doubled. It was back in the summer. And I had a running toilet, you know, that old, every 5 minutes you hear the little shh, right? I didn't think it was no big deal until I got my bill. And it doubled. So if you got a running toilet, take care of it.
Dan, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, thanks. I have to agree that it would make a lot of sense in this case, because it is the first time that it be continued. Primarily, one of the reasons I say that is the $6,000 water bill occurred, I think, I don't even remember, close to a year ago. And it took so much time to ferret out the various options, craft the ordinance, get it to the board, get it approved. There's a first reading, a second reading, and it goes into effect 30 days later. It was a long, drawn-out process, and we made a couple of efforts for each of these water customers to contact them, inform them of the need for them to be here at this meeting. We certainly sent those out, but we can't be sure that they are received. So we'll... Or can we?
Maybe. In the mail.
All right. Well, I think the other thing just...
Okay.
For the
they did receive a mailing and a door hanger. So.
But I think just for the board's information, this policy was adopted subsequent to their original appeal. So anybody that appealed now, they would know this from the beginning of their appeal on.
Precisely.
So I just see this as being unique, not setting any precedent, but we did change the policy after they made their initial appeal. So I just think... 1 month more and do make our best efforts, and then it is what it is.
I did want to address Leon's comment about, you know, are they notified in terms of how do people know that they, how soon do they find out? Is it waiting for the bill? I take it this was all in one billing period, and they wouldn't know.
I do think that how this came about, I just think it's worthwhile to go ahead and just continue this particular item.
And I'd like to move to continue this item.
I continue this for just 1 month, and we'll make our best effort to contact them and make it clear to them. And I think also for any future appeals that we do have, we want to make sure that they understand the entire process all the way through, that you have the ability as the general manager to take a 50% appeal. And if they want to make a further appeal to the board, that requires their personal attendance at the board meeting to explain it. So I think as we obtain future appeals, we'll just make that clear. So we have a motion by Director Baltimore, seconded by Director Vice President Kelly. Any more discussion?
I just wanted to ask why a certified letter might not be appropriate.
It might be appropriate. We will definitely look at various ways of communicating with the customers that fall into this situation and do our best to have an open dialogue with them prior to the meeting.
Right. Okay. I think we just do our best effort to communicate and contact them. Any objection to unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the item is approved unanimously. With that will bring the meeting to a close with closing board comments. We'll start with Director Baltimore.
Yep, hang on.
All right.
Okay. No. Okay. Just real quick, as I get more and more experience on the board, I'm proud of being in a part of the community of Los Osos, and we are a community. And I must say, we all try, whether we're on the board or whether in the community itself. And I also recognize that we sometimes get a little passionate when we want to express our opinions. And but the more level-headed we can be, just the nicer it is. So anyway. That's my comment.
Thank you. Director Vogel?
Yes, I want to say that I am impressed that members of our community went all the way to Sacramento to speak on our behalf, and I want to thank them for that. On the other hand, it's quite, you know, a long trip for members of this board to undertake, especially when they really, there are only two members of the board that can speak on behalf of the board as representatives. So it's a difficult situation, and I hope the community understands that.
Thank you, Kelly.
I don't think it's been mentioned yet that the joint meeting of the LOCSD and LOCAC has been canceled. We will not be having a joint meeting in March. I was contacted by Slow Greenbuild that there's a gentleman coming from Portland, and I apologize, I can't remember his name, but it's a program that has to do with, do you have the name, Ian, Andy?
Mark Lakeman.
Mark Lakeman from Portland, Oregon, of the business?
City Repair.
Anyway, Slow Greenbuild is bringing him down, and he's going to do two presentations, and one of the presentations that he's going to do is here in Los Osos, and it's going to be on April 6th at starting at, I believe we're hitting tabling and information at 6 o'clock, and then there will be a full presentation. And what it is it's going to be talking about LID, on-site retention of water on properties, dry wells, gray water systems, all the things that they've been doing that he's been working on. There's some really cool projects that he's done up in Portland and the Seattle area. The event's going to end up, the CSD and the Morro Bay National Estuary Program think it's really important and are actually quite honored that he's going to be coming to Los Osos. Hopefully being able to pull in Los Osos, this is a great opportunity for us. It's also important to Morro Bay. So we'll be the coast. We'll be hosting the coast zone of this. Slow Greenbuild is the lead on the project, and they will be putting out information, but we'll get information on our website as soon as possible as well. So in lieu of the joint meeting, this will be an event for the community to participate in, board members and LOCAC members, and it should be really, really great. So I'm very excited about it. I'm also, okay, Mission County Disposals Extra Pickup Week in Los Osos.
That was mine.
You know what? Let's let Marshall do it, because last time I made fun of it.
What was the date again? What was the date?
April 6th at
April
6th? 6 o'clock.
And the county will, I've also spoken with, the county will also be here with information on drainage, and we'll be here on drainage and conservation. And so, anyway, I'm done.
Thank you, Vice President Kelly. That is going to be a good event. I think it like you said, they're doing two, which is a good thing. They're coming out to the coast. So I will just close with the Mission Country Disposal Extra Pickup Week. Not do electronic waste at the curbside or street side, and they will not be accepted in this pickup period. So with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting, and our next meeting is scheduled for April 7th, Thursday. Thank you.